We'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast. I am Amber, your host, and I am honored today to have Dr. Pat Basile as my Heart Leader guest. This amazing woman puts the heart in Heart Leader for so many reasons. Her specialty has always been supporting people as they face their challenges with courage. She starts by helping them identify their limiting thoughts, actions, and beliefs, which she calls the crust that keeps them stuck. And then she helps them move through this crust with courage and a positive mental outlook. But Dr. Pat doesn't stop there. She uses her living life full out personality to just blow the doors off traditional talk radio, combining her energizing delivery with fresh, groundbreaking, and unique perspectives. The Dr. Pat Show has been catapulted to the top position in alternative talk radio. She regularly helps thousands of listeners break free from what has been keeping them from reaching their optimal potential. Her show and her network have received numerous awards and are syndicated from coast to coast and around the globe with at least 50 hours of radio per week. So you can find the Dr. Pat Show in your car, in your home, and on the radio from Washington to New York and even in Australia. Her network reach is over 10 million and it's exploding. She has hundreds of shows on iTunes that are available for download and thousands of shows on her website. She's respected by world-renowned leaders and authors, many of whom have declared that Dr. Pat gives the best interview that they've ever experienced. And I can attest to that. And now that I have this distinct pleasure of turning the tables and interviewing this spectacular heart leader, I don't want to wait another minute. So Dr. Pat, thank you so much for being on this show.
I had like zoned out like right for a minute right there. Like I was like, I wonder who I'm interviewing.
It's you, woman. You're amazing.
You know, can I start out with a little story about something you just said? And I'll keep it brief.
Oh, of course you can.
We had somebody ask us a couple of questions, really hard questions about the network. And I know we're going to talk about leadership, but this is part of leadership for me. My area of academic expertise, if you have one, like you go to school and then you're a consultant, is in the area of leadership in a little known theory called leader-member exchange, and it's grounded in psychological contracts. And we could talk about that later, but basically the bottom line is, if I promise to show up for this show today, I really need to show up. Otherwise, I'm in psychological contract violation and you probably won't talk to me again. But let me just share this story because people ask me why I'm an optimist. I don't really know why. I know that's the way I was raised by both my birth mom and my stepmom. So about a week ago, somebody was asking us about our numbers and how many people come to our site. Now, you know me a little bit. I don't live in that world. I'm living in the world that in about 2 months, we're going to launch 10 channels. So when people talk to me, I deal like in numbers like 10 channels. But she persisted. And I decided to go back to my server person. And I said, Nick, I got to have some numbers. Nick says, you can run them yourself. I said, no, I don't want to run them myself because one of our clients is asking. And the last thing you want to do in research is run your own stuff. You don't do that. I said, Nick, you got to run the numbers. So he runs the numbers and they come back. And they're like, 10 channels, just a lot of stuff. I said, I need one number, just one. Just give me Transformation Talk Radio. Just give me the little slice of the thing, the report, do like a screenshot. Don't send me all the other stuff. And so it comes in and it has a number 19 on it. I deal like in thousands in my brain. I skydive at 15,000 square feet. So it's got like a K at the end. And I looked at it and I said, okay, this is for November 1st, for November 25th of this year. And I thought, that doesn't seem right. And I emailed Nick back and I said, what is this 19,000? And Nick emails me back and says, what the heck are you looking about? That's an M at the end of that.
Mind blown.
Well, it's in disbelief. And I go back to, so what does the M mean? And Nick, you got to love people. Nick is like, are you tired? Are you like, he said, it's M, like K is thousands, M is million. And I email him back and I said, I got to give this to a client. Can you please be clear when it says 19 million requests? What are those? He says, those are hits. And I said, to where? He said, you asked for Transformation Talk Radio, but I gave you everything. And I said, is this for everything or just for TTR? He smells me back. He says, you need to take a couple days off. He says, it's 19M for TTR. I cried. I just cried. And my days, no matter what you're going to ask me about today, the two losses we've had in my family and Jessica's family over the past week, when you put all of that aside, I live my life in deep gratitude for taking the breath of air today to be here with you and to be able to serve you, all the hosts, and all of the people that come to TTR. Because you don't come to TTR to buy soap. Well, you could, but you don't come there. You come here because you're either interested in one of our hosts, you either want to automatically be blasted out by our mini player, which I asked them to turn off today, or you get to watch the live streaming video that is on there. You come here because you want to connect with the beautiful souls that are on this network. So I'm here today with you, just shocked a little bit that I'm even here today, given my past life. But even more importantly, that I get to be in gratitude for a server expert that was patient enough to send me 5 different reports until he spelled out that M means million.
That's amazing. But you built this network from the ground up to create the opportunity for 19 million people to reach hosts like myself.
Yeah.
Who have a mission. And each individual on the Transformation Network, we're out there because we have a message and a mission. Yeah. And you created this platform for us, but it had to start with you. So can you walk us back to that?
Like, I would love to walk you back.
What was that?
I want to walk you back. All of us on this team, this is the language that I want everybody to use for their own. I use the term God, the God of my understanding, because it's in my 12-step program. That's my phrase, the God of my understanding. You could call it God. You could call it goddess. If you look behind me, you've got Kuan Yin. You got Mother Mary up there. It doesn't matter. Creator, life source. I didn't do this alone. This was given to me. And it was given to me in an odd way. Just odd. I was depressed in 2003. I was supposed to become a high-paid consultant. I had studied something that nobody studied quite in that way. I won awards for the research. I won awards for the postdoctoral research. People tell me that my citations are listed, you know, close to 100,000 times. I rarely look back at that work, except I'm looking at it again. Because I was depressed. I had something happen to me after 25 years in a job. And I didn't understand how people could not keep their agreements. And so off I went. I finished 10 years of research on this. It was grueling. My dissertation was both quantitative and qualitative. Think about 1,200 pages of notes of people that felt their psychological contracts had been violated. 1,200 pages. When I was done, my academic team wouldn't leave me alone. They said, you got to keep doing the paper. You got to go to the academy. I did all that. And then I couldn't get up from bed. I couldn't go back into corporate America. So how did it start for me? I'm learning different. I had one doctor tell me that this is a language I guess we're using today. I'm trying not to tap right now. I'm holding my hands. I'm trying not to bang on here because that will drive Kent crazy. But here I was. I transposed numbers. That's why Linda is on my team. And I dialed a wrong 800 number and I dialed into an internet-only network in 2003. Nobody was listening to the internet in 2003. Al Gore just invented it.
Go Al.
Yeah. And within 10 minutes, I pulled out a credit card and I paid what I now know was a very, very high price for 13 weeks on the internet. It was close to $13,000 in 2003.
Wow.
I never questioned it. I never looked back. 2 months later, KKNW calls me, Eric Crema. He says, we heard about your show. We just happen to have 5 days a week. Do you want it? Pull out a credit card. A year later, he says, you're not going to believe it. We have another 5 hours, like right after you, 10 and 11, 5 days a week. Do you want it? Pull out a credit card. I didn't know a thing about this. I still don't claim to know a thing about this because none of what we built is coming from that place. And then Jessica shows up as an intern. And I got to tell you, Amber, we were not running it from our studios. This was in my apartment in like a little back room. And I had interns and Oliver from Germany. And this is how the law of attraction, I think, works. We really do get what we ask for.
Yes.
Good or bad.
As long as you're putting action behind that,
yep,
and you have a clear intention.
Yep. And how did it start? I didn't know anything about anything. And so here I am. I said yes. TTR started the same way. I was helping a guy launch his network with Chris in WBLQ. He writes a bad check. Chris, my Italian buddy, calls me and says, you are not going to hide from me. I just got a mortgage on this station. Send me $2,200. You have to start your own network. Now, most people would say, are you kidding me, dude? I'm not this guy. I didn't write. And I just said, great, let me do it. Write a job description in Freelancer. It was so bizarre. If you ever looked at what I asked for, I want a programmer. I want my network to be database driven. I want you to build technology so my users don't have to do it, because everything I had ever asked for any of the networks I was on, they never gave me. And I kept a list that if I ever built something, and I put it all in this 1 hour, mind you, not even more, Oliver from Germany, I can do it all. Hired him on the spot. He programmed the bones of what you see in our network in a month. From October to January, he had built the underpinnings. We were all over WBLQ in Rhode Island, and I had 20 hosts. And again, I didn't know what I didn't know. So that's a long answer to how that started. But I will tell you, I don't do anything without my divine guidance. I do nothing. And neither does Jessica and neither does Linda.
And that's amazing. Were there ever times when you doubted it? Or
Oh, yeah.
There was a moment that creeped in where you're like, what the heck am I doing right now? And
yeah,
how did you make your way through it?
Oh yeah, last Friday. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
So we hear about doubt. So here's what I've learned. For every setback, there's a setup. For every setback. And I have to use that language. I don't use it normally in my life, but we're talking to people. Yes. I'm a girl from New York. Everything I do is street smart. My spirituality is street smart spirituality. I'm a girl from New York that happens to live in Washington State. But when you get a setback, you have to keep the perspective that this is a thing that is showing up for an amazing setup for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're me and your mom dies and commits suicide when you're 6, or like me, you're homeless at 17, or at 19, you're arrested for something you didn't do. All of those setups are for something that you're going to need to learn. All those setbacks are getting you ready for the setup. And we just had something like that happen a week ago. it took me, in order to respond to this, it took me 5 days. I pulled a 72 hour without sleeping. I look pretty good, don't I?
You sure do.
But what happened as a result of that, we looked at this body of work that we do, not just for your hosts, but we do this other body of work for clients where we will work with a client from zero and work with them until they get a book deal. Dr. Sharon Martin, right? Susan Dene. And what happened was we were forced to look at a year's worth of work that we had done for someone. About 3 o'clock in the morning, not last night, the night before, I had compiled Jessica and I, and we looked at each other and we said, oh my gosh, look at what we help people with. We never look at the accolades. We don't pump our chest. That's not our mission and purpose. But if we have to look at what we've done and we could show the world, we do it through your eyes. Very rarely do we look at ourselves. And I just said to her, I am so proud of everybody on this team. I am so proud of our hosts. I am so proud of our programmer that is a nitpicker and will give us our new technology. I'm so proud of my Shahid. I'm so proud of my wonderful grad. I'm so proud of, you know, my dude that does graphics for all of you. I'm so proud of Kim. I'm so proud of Linda and Kent and Daniel, our newest person, and Jacob and Olivia, who's working remotely, and Edvin, who used to work for us, who just called me and said, hey, you got any? Everybody that we touch to help you all, and you all mostly. See, you can't create this as a human. So when you ask me the question, I got to tell you, I got angels flying around me. So does Jessica, all of us, because we're not done yet. God, that was a long answer.
It was a beautiful answer. And it's true. When doubt creeps in, it's the people around you that can help you pull yourself out of it. And the team at Transformation Network is amazing. I say that over and over again. But it started with your belief that there could be something different. And what has been built here, and the reason the Heart Leader podcast chose this avenue to really bring the message out, is because you are different. And I know we've talked about this. You had many who came to you in the broadcast field and said, this will never work because you're not adhering to standards. But I can say the reason I chose you is because you're not adhering to standards, because there are lots of flaws in those standards. So what gave you the courage to stand up and say, no, I am not going to bend to this just so I can conform and get the deal that you're offering me. I'm going to do what I know is right.
Anybody that's ever been homeless, can I just say this?
Uh-huh.
It's really going to be a short answer, and you could ask me more about it, but I just want to give it to you. Anybody that's ever been homeless, anybody, I don't care for how long, you don't have a home. I'm begging for money in a Port Authority at 17 years old. I'm digging in a dumpster for hot dogs, because when you're homeless in New York, you get to like look at like the restaurants, and then you go in the back to like you pick like what you want to eat. Like if you want pizza, you go in a back alley and you get to that one. If you want, I loved hot dogs at 17. So I went to the hot dog back alley. So that was my dumpster, that I would go into the dumpster and I would get bottles of soda that weren't finished. I would get hot dogs. A lot of food in New York, and you get to share them with the rats. So it's kind of cool. And I'm sitting there and I got the hot dog that I wanted. And I'm smart about this. See, when you're homeless, you learn stuff, Amber. You just learn stuff. You learn, this is when you have to go to the dumpster. You don't go at dinner time. You have to wait. That's when you go to your dumpster. Then you need to make sure that that's your dumpster, that there's no other person that has a dumpster, because, you know, you have to have respect. You know, if you see some of the homeless person at a dumpster, no, you got to go find a different dumpster. Let's learn about respect. Then you have to trust. You have to trust. See, because there's nothing else that you can do when you're homeless. You have to trust that you're going to be intuitively guided. So I'm digging. I got my hot dog. Love this guy's hot dogs. And I'm eating my hot dog. And out in the back door, people come to smoke, right? Out in the back. So imagine this dark alley, if you could, in New York City. with a dumpster and like a back door where all the cooks and stuff come out, and you're talking to him. So one night this guy comes out. I've never seen him before. And he says, "What do you think of the hot dogs?" And I went off. I said, "Well, let me tell you what I think. I think the particular hot dog I have has a little bit too much garlic in it, but I kind of like the garlic. If you're going to put the garlic in the hot dog, you better season it or offset it, maybe with a little basil, a little oregano." And I said, "I know this hot dog is made from hand scratch. You're not like bringing hot dogs in from some other place. I love that. Also, I love the thinness of the skin." I mean, I went into a dissertation on this hot dog. And I said, "Let me just tell you a little bit. You should offer different mustard, because see this light yellow mustard, I don't like that so much. But if you do that well. And then the bun's really good, although I don't know how old this bun is, but it's still really good. And by the way, you make the best onions in red sauce on the planet." This is the owner.
Oh, wow.
He said, "How about you run one of my hot dog wagons?" Now I'm dirty. I think I brushed my teeth. I don't remember. And I said, "Like a real hot dog wagon in New York that I used to come as a kid and get my hot dogs?" He said, "Yeah, I want you to do it up there at Midtown." I said, "Midtown, those people, they don't need hot dogs." He said, "That's why I'm going to put you there." I learned everything I need to know at 17 about business, about customer service, about asking for money, and about respect. And my first day, and about quality. You never give anybody a hot dog that's been sitting in that water for more than 30 minutes. You never do it. All of these are what I learned, but I will tell you again, I do nothing without Jessica and Linda. Jessica came in here as an intern. She sat in a room with another intern, Heather, in my apartment. She learned everything. And now I make no decisions without talking to Jessica. But you see, that setback at 17, it taught me so much. And on my first day on the job, Midtown in New York, I don't know if you know about the Midtown.
I do.
They line up, they got the suits. Right? They're not downtown, but they're different. They line up the suits. They got the shoes, my first day, Luigi, that was his name. Beautiful brown shoes, beautiful shoes. I spilled mustard on his shoes.
Oh no.
They're like $2,000 pairs of some kind of Italian shoe. My first day. I apologized. I asked him what size his shoe was. The next day, I come with a pair of shoes that I bought for like $20.
2020.
I'm 17 years old. Please forgive me. But I show up, Luigi's online, and I hand him the shoes. Now, here's what I learned in my first week. I learned everybody's name. I learned what hot dogs they got. By the time Luigi came up, I had his hot dog ready. I had his drink ready. I knew everybody in the line that had been there the day before, because I'm learning different. So I have a little gift that's a disability. I learned everybody in the line. They came up. I asked them how their kids were. I love Luigi's tie. And I hand him my $20 pair of shoes. I later find out those were $2,000 pair of shoes. And when I left that position, that job that I wasn't on very long, he gave me his $2,000 pair of shoes. And I wore them for a really long time as a kid. See, what are you going to do with your setbacks in life, Amber? What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do with that sickness that happened to me a year after, well, 6 months after I did the show? What do you do with that? That sickness, that mystery disease that I got on April 1st of 2004, that was the God of my understanding, the universe, the creator, whatever you want to call it, making sure I didn't leave this pathway, because I was so sick, I couldn't do anything else but pay for airtime.
It's amazing.
But what we build it because we keep notes of what you all ask for. Jessica tells this story better than anybody. You know, we had one of our hosts say to us one time, I'm so sick and tired of doing everything myself. She wasn't really talking about us. And then we said to her, send us an email. She sends us a 3-page email. And we looked at it and we said, you know, we do most of this and we change the entire direction of what we provide for you. See, you've got to show up in support of people if that's what you say you do to the best you can. And when you can't, say, I'm sorry, this was a technical glitch, not sure why it happened. Or say, we're going to do better next time. Or say, I'm sorry that we sent this late to you. Or say, what would you like to do in 2022? Because it's all about you in 2022. That's the only thing I know how to do. Because I learned it selling hot dogs and begging for money in Port Authority.
And it is a different approach because in other places, not that it was bad, it was just different because other places we went, it was, here's the package. How do you fit into the package?
Oh.
When we talked with you, it was, what do you need and how do we build a package around you? Which is a very different flow. So how do you balance, like our theme this month is all about giving and receiving, right? And there's got to be a lot of focus on giving and receiving when you're creating an approach that fits every host on your network. How do you balance that? How do you not burn out when you're so busy, like making certain all of us are cared for in the way that you do?
So I'm probably going to annoy a lot of people with like what I'm going to say.
That's okay.
I don't even understand the word balance. Because what I talk about for myself is called harmony. See, harmony, that's it. It's not balance for me. Nobody can achieve balance, especially when you have a life purpose or a mission and a life path. I'm not quite sure I even know that the people that define balance even know what that means, right? But let's talk about harmony. You know, that's the way we operate here. That's the way we live about our lives. You know, if we get a call and somebody has a special project for a $500,000 bid they're putting on something. We don't say, well, wait a minute, I got Mary, Tom, and this over here. We look at harmony, right? Those combination of things you have that you could still bring into your life and you could still have peace and freedom from it. You know, it's that agreement of these orderly arrangements, right? This is what harmony is. It's you come into agreement with the square parts in your life, with the circle parts in your life, with the triangular parts in your life. And when you're in that space, even if you work 72 hours in a row or 48 hours in a row, if you can do it from a place that you minimize dissonance, there's nothing better than that because that comes from within. Balance is this thing we do for the outer world. And I got to tell you, I don't know about many people. I wasn't put on this planet from an outer world place. So that's what we try to achieve is harmony. When we're editing a show, that's what we look at. We don't say, oh, there's 5 clips of this and 6 of this. We say, how do we put it together so that the lower thirds come in just right? So that we go to break just right? So that if we have to get a special effect, we bring it in at a right place. Music has 4 parts of harmony. Isn't it beautiful when you listen to that?
Yeah. I love the term harmony.
Probably going to get a lot of emails now about that.
I don't think that we're saying different things.
No.
I mean, harmony is a perfect balance within itself because balance doesn't have to be 50-50.
Right.
And I feel like that's where people maybe get a little thrown off.
Yes.
If they feel like, oh, all things have to be even. Well, you're never going to achieve balance if all things have to be even.
Yeah.
Even on a scale, it's going to throw things off.
You get these life assessments. I got the lifestyle assessment when I was in my corporate job. So I was in corporate America for 25 years. I was an executive and you come in and you get these assessments and then they give you the wheel, like the colored wheel.
Yes. The whole Myers-Briggs thing, all of those different
things. Oh, Myers-Briggs. Yeah. They made me take Myers-Briggs 4 times. But this is this other thing. And they show it to you. And like you got one part that's like this, and then you got the other part. And then the idea is if you have too much of this, you have to add this. So they're all the same. And I said, no, No. And I was young. I said, I play table tennis 7 days a week. I'm not changing that.
Yes.
I said, I don't have a problem. I come in, I do my job. But this is such an inner walk.
Yes.
Right? You have to have untouchable faith. Now, I'm not talking religion. I'm talking the strength of your conviction in believing in who you are, every part of you, every step you take, especially if you're in service of others. You can't waver from that. You may doubt yourself from time to time, and doubt is a great teacher, but you have to hold the strength and belief in yourself as being guided by whatever you want to call that. That's the key for me today.
And the things that you've achieved through that, the lives that you've touched, it's amazing. And so thank you for being that light that allows others to see what's possible.
Yeah, thank you. I'm telling you, it's surreal for me. You know, Jessica and I had a call last night, and both of us, we just had to pinch ourselves. You know, you can't do what we do without loving it.
Yeah.
And to be able to see the smile on your face, or any host's face, or a call that I'm on, like the one I was on yesterday with the new host, and we come up with a great show name, and she's just ecstatic and happy and thrilled. And you're sharing those moments with people that are so sacred. I never thought I'd have this life, Amber. I never thought I'd have this life. You know,
you created it. And so for there being others who are maybe in a similar step in their lives right now, who are a little lost or feel as though they're lost, but they desire to lead their life instead of being led by the external, what advice would you give them for building the life that they desire the way that you did? You could have easily been consumed by what you were experiencing when you were homeless, or the story that I've heard where you didn't even recognize yourself in the mirror after the corporate job. And you were like, who is this person? A lot of people would just give into that. I know. I myself have been in that position where I had to make the choice. How did you make that choice and build your own life versus being guided by the external? And how can you, the crust, as we talked about,
yeah,
talking about building that positive life, what advice could you give?
You have to be brought to your knees, maybe like I have, but you don't have to if you recognize it sooner. But when you're brought to your knees, when you're consumed by everything in your life and you have to numb yourselves with drugs and alcohol, and you're literally brought to your knees. And out of that, somebody puts a hand out to help you up. And then you realize that that hand that's given to you is not really a human. It comes from a belief in the positive energy of the universe that some people call God, some people call Buddha, some people in the Baha'i faith call it something else. Some people call it Jesus. You know, some people call it Allah. It doesn't matter. It is a belief that something miraculous just happened. And you cannot waste a moment outside of gratitude for it. I say every day, minimally, 70 times a day, because I was given this assignment. You know, the first year that I decided to stop drinking and stop using, I had a sponsor that was, he was a crazy man. He really was. And that's a whole nother story too. I mean, I shaved my head after I lost my job. I was Sinead O'Connor's twin. I love my shaved head. I threatened to do it again. Linda says, please don't do it. I shaved my head. Every time I go through a major transformation, I shave my head. I don't even know what that's about, but it does happen. And I went through a period where had to save myself, and I couldn't do it alone. And the hand that reached out to help me at a time where I didn't know I was going to get up. I didn't want to live, Amber. I didn't want to live. I didn't want to live. And people are going through that now. They're going through that now.
So much.
Yep. And all I want to say to them is, don't give up before the miracle happens. Don't give up. There'll be a hand that somebody puts out for you. You may not see it. You may not recognize it. But if a hand, if you do see the hand, if it does somehow show up, and it could be anything, Amber. It could be a call. It could be the show, right? It could be an illness, like the one I got in 04. And by the way, that stayed with me a bunch of years, but it directed the entire change in the show. The show went in a holistic direction. The angel lady sent me and helped me found my naturopath, Dr. Nusheen Darvish, who saved my life when no other medical could do it. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody had ever seen a case quite like this. She figured it out. She is my friend today. Dr. Darvish has done amazing things. She became one of the world's premier physicians when it came to Lyme disease and the coefficients. She went to China. I mean, these are the people I've met from not being well. But here's the thing, you can't give up. You can't give up. You have to persevere. But you cannot do it without gratitude, even for that disease that you never saw coming. And for 70 days, 70 times a day, I was told I must say thank you and thank you to whatever the God was I believed in, 70 times. Now it is so ingrained in me that I could be doing anything and my brain is saying, thank you, God. Thank you, universe. Thank you, Isis. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It just is doing it. That's how easy this is to do. That's how simple it is to do, but it isn't always easy.
True. Yeah, because it's reprogramming that negative brain bias that we have to always go to the worst case scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just happens. And so we do have to be very conscientious about that and just reprogram it. And it sounds like you did that. Yeah. And going back to what you said, it could be anything and that can help you with that hand and your network, what's been built out, the transformation network. There are so many hosts that have such a variety of skill sets that even just tuning in, going to the transformationnetwork.com, you could find somebody that's speaking to you on the level at which maybe you need. So definitely don't give up.
Yeah.
Find someone that could help you or reach out to us at Suivera and we can help you find someone. If it's not us, then we have an extended network, but definitely don't give up because there's always something that is meant for you next.
But aren't you all operating from the same plane? Because you can't have a name for yourself that has the word heart in it, right? Without the energy of that in it. Because what happens, what the universe will do, it'll look for dissonance and it'll say, oh, they say they're heart, but you know, they're not really, because you won't get heart if you're not aligned with that. And that's what you all are. You see, you are aligned with the purity of what's in your soul. And that's why. And when people ask me, why does the law of attraction work for some and doesn't in others? And I say, oh, it's just all about alignment. It's like your tires, right?
Yes.
If your tires are not aligned, what happens to the car? You could be going like this, right? Driving straight down the road. But if your tires are not aligned, what happens? They're not aligned. They're going to go off. That's how it works. And that's what you all are doing. You know, we are so thrilled, all of us here. And, you know, Daniel, he's like, when am I going to get the next episode? I mean, my gosh, right? And when that blessing comes to the network, like you all, Suivera, you all come to the network. If you get Linda and me and Jessica on a call in our moments of gratitude, there are more tears on a call like that. And they're not tears of sadness. Gratitude and blessings or whatever we want. It's an overwhelming feeling. It is the juice that keeps us going. See, when you ask me about what keeps us going, it's all of you. It's all of you. You keep us going. It doesn't matter what Jessica and I had a great idea. We're going to implement. That doesn't matter. If that idea is not grounded in what you all desire and what you all deserve, we're out of alignment.
And we had talked about that a little bit with giving and receiving a couple of weeks ago with me and Austin. It's about, you can have something that you so want to give to someone, but if they don't want to receive it, then it's kind of not necessarily going to be received the way that you intend to give it. And what you guys have done is you really do make certain that what you're building and what you're giving those of us who are receiving your products, your services, that it's a match. It's a vibrational match, frequency-wise. It's a product match for what we actually need. You seek and you understand what it is that we're doing. And it does help so much. And I say that for anyone who may be listening to this and is thinking about creating their own podcast, because it does make a significant difference. I had Mark Anthony on the show last week, and he talked about the frequency of the soul, but all things have a frequency. And that is included in partnerships and business and in relationships. And especially if you desire your business to flourish, if you don't find a matching frequency, then it's going to take a toll on how you're executing. And you create that amazing bed of energy for anyone coming in to really have an amazing frequency to launch any platform. So I just really do desire to put that out there. I can speak from experience.
Thank you. I got to tell you, it's really a hard walk for me. Dolly Parton had an article that came out recently, and I thought, oh my God, that is exactly me. And what it is you see Dolly, right? Sweet. My stepmom was from the South, so I can say this gracefully and honorably. Sweet, smiling Dolly with that Southern drawl. And the article came out where she had to make a statement and say something like, I'm a tough boss. And so I'm a tough boss. I'm not a mean boss. But I'm the kind of boss that I have these standards for things. And am I always going to put them out there? No. You have to look at what we're capable of, and you have to look at, if you're not able to do it, what do you need to do to get it? But for me, I pray for a team of people, which we have now, that all want to create what we want to create. You know, Daniel was here till, I don't know, 6:30 last night. I didn't even, you know, like, I'm like, Daniel, like, right? Kent's doing the show. You know, Kent's going to be here while people are out. But we are tough on each other. And what I mean by tough, I don't mean mean. We have a resilience, you see? So when I read that about Dolly, she's really talking about resilience. But the magazine used the word tough. See what we do?
Yes.
Now, if you think Oprah's easy to work for, hello, right? Because Oprah's got a standard for what she wants to create. And all she asks people to do is, will you help me create it? And I think that's hard for people. It's hard to look at one's life and know that I'm resilient. I can do this. I may have to grunt and grit and put my teeth together to get through it, but I know I can do it. And some days, I don't smile as much as people think. I am such an introvert. I have to explain to my team, you know, I'm an introvert. And so, yeah, I have to learn how to come into the room and bring in candy and donuts. And I have to learn how to do things and maybe just chit chat. I'm such an introvert. They made me take the Myers-Briggs 4 times. I scaled so high on the introvert scale. My boss didn't believe it. I'm in like some percentage in the abnormal range. I took it 4 times because they said nobody is that introverted. I didn't understand that. That doesn't mean that I can't do a show like this. See, just because I'm an introvert, what'll happen is at the end of my day today, rather than say to my friends, hey, you want to go skiing? I will not do that, right? Mm-hmm. I may say, hey, you want to watch a movie? So I've had to learn to be less of my nature and more outgoing. And sometimes I don't know the best way to do that. I am a work in progress. I don't know what I don't know about myself. I have days that I wake up and I have to remember that I'm a quadruple Sagittarian. Don't open your mouth. Don't say anything to anybody. Because I don't want to make Jessica cry again.
But it's a beautiful thing to know and to recognize that you are actively focused on self-development. Because a lot of times we'll feel like, oh, I'm there. I can take a break.
No, I'm not there. I'm not there.
Is anyone ever?
I don't know. I've talked to some people that said they were, but I know it's not me. And I'm excited. Can I tell you, I'm excited about that? I'm excited about knowing that I'm not there. I'm excited about thinking about, who am I going to become tomorrow? What am I going to learn to be tomorrow? You know, maybe I won't Skype a really short message, even though it's not a mean message. It's short. It's direct. Maybe I'll say, hey, how's your day today? Okay, maybe I'll learn those things a little bit more. Maybe what I'll do is not do so much texting. Maybe I'll learn something to know that everybody's different. What I say to Jacob may be different than Kent. You know, maybe Kent's got a sense of humor that I don't understand. Maybe people think I have no sense of humor. So all of this, I'm excited to become something that I'm meant to become. And I don't know what that is at this moment.
My favorite saying is, I'm a student of everything and a master of nothing.
Okay, no, wait. I'm a master of something.
What is that?
Ping pong.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. All right. I'm not really a master in the context of like really good players, but I am the Washington State champ for my age group. I love playing table tennis. I've been playing table tennis, had the greatest coach since. It's actually a therapy for me. You know, I told you earlier that I'm learning different. There's a thing that I'm referencing. So the sound of a ping pong ball is my meditation. So some days I'll walk in and my right hand will be totally bruised from my robot. Because I haven't been playing as much and I'm a little bit off by like a half a second. And if you're off at a half a second, that a ball that's coming at you anywhere between 40 and 60 miles an hour, you're going to get hurt. But I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at ping pong.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I'm not a master at it, but some days I feel like I am.
Yeah. See, the moment I would feel like I'm a master of something, then I'm going to feel like I don't need to dive into it any deeper. And there's always room for improvement. Room for growth.
Yeah. If I'm a master at ping pong, I wouldn't have spent $1,000 on a robot and another $1,000 on a table. Okay. It's because I love to play.
Okay. Wait a second. I'm intrigued. A robot for
ping pong? I play with my robot. Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you pictures. You can put it in the show.
Okay.
My robot. I have a power pong robot and a net, and I have a whole deal out here, and I got my table. And so the robot, you can set the robot up. It could hit you fastball, side spin. It could go to forehand, backhand. Yeah. I have a robot, and I, you know, because COVID shut everything down.
Yeah.
Right.
That's incredible.
I love my robot. I talk to it.
That's so fun.
It could be pretty mean.
Well, it has no reason to be compassionate about how it's going to send a ball at you.
And you know, honestly, I have to thank Linda's been my friend since 1972. Her parents literally saved my life in so many ways. They became sort of my parents. So when she was here, she helped me get through two new knee replacements. So now I really can play. And she would come out and watch me practice, right? She'd have her little game that she'd play. And then I have blasting music because I am a little learning different. When I work, I have the television going. It's probably got some Christmas music on. I got my iPod going. You know, I'm listening to all sorts of songs and they're going simultaneously. So bless Linda's heart for putting up with me. With my robot, the sound of thousands of balls coming out of the robot, blasting Diana Ross and the Supremes or Creep by Radiohead, and then me arguing with myself and the robot. How does it get any better than that?
Okay, that sounds like a YouTube video that would, and with no doubt, go viral in a heartbeat. Next time she just has to record it.
I have to give my robot a name. I haven't given her a name yet.
Okay. Well, I love that it's a girl, though.
Yeah, she's a girl. She has to be a girl. So women competitors for me, they're tough.
I've
lost to more women than I've lost to men.
That's intriguing. There's a study.
That is a study. But I tell you, I love playing. My partners, I've had to learn a little Chinese. Not quite sure I'm going to learn, you know, my woman partners from India, my male partners from China, and my other mixed partner is from Mexico, I believe. So I'm learning a little bit of Chinese, ni hao. And I get to eat a ton of great food when we get together.
Sounds incredible. I'll have to explore ping pong a little bit more. You've opened my eyes to a new thing.
I'll do a video and send you a couple of pointers so you don't learn how to do it, and, you know, so you don't have to correct bad habits.
Okay. I love it. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I digressed right there. Sorry.
No, I love it. I'm always open to learning new things. But I do have one final question for
you. Sure.
If you were sitting in the home of every single person who has ever listened to your show, you are sitting there heart to heart with them, what is one key piece of advice or one thing that you would say to them?
I would say, you inspire me. You inspired us, and me in particular, to keep going during two different economic downturns. When you lost everything in 2007, 8, 9, and 10, you showed up on the network in ways that I couldn't believe. I would say you inspired me, and thank you for renaming my show to the Dr. Pat Show. I would say to them that no matter where you are, we will try to present this platform to you to help you live your day the best you can. I would say to them that you are the game changers in the world, not us, not the network. We're not it, it's you. Every minute of every day, you call into the shows, you email us. And I will tell you, Susie, thank you for all the letters you send, and thank you for your contributions. I have kept every dollar you've ever sent. And I would say to them, no matter what, don't give up. If you're down a court, listen to one of the shows. If you need help, reach out to one of the people here. But don't ever give up on yourself, and make sure you connect with whatever the God of your understanding is, because you don't have to take this journey alone. You know, having the owner of that hot dog dumpster be at the door on that night saved my life. I know I didn't do that alone, but that's what I would say to all of them. You inspire me, and 2022 is going to be all about you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. You inspire me. So it is full circle.
I'm so blessed, Amber, that we're working with you and Austin, and we're working with the people in your network. We prayed for it. We prayed to meet you. And I know we still have yet to develop and yet to, you know, do together. But you truly are the blessing to us. We prayed for you to show up because we knew we had to partner with heart-centered people to help all of our listeners and all of our hosts. So thank you both for following your life's path.
Thank you.
Got a little choked up right there. You know, that and now having a burning desire for hot dogs with onions.
I love you, woman. I love you.
And on that note, I can't get the hot dog out of my head.
You'll have to make a visit.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say, don't email me because no, I'm not going to have a vegan hot dog. I'm probably just, you know, like I'm going back east. We had a death in the family. I'm going back east. And chances are now I'm going to go into that hot dog place, which is still there, and get a hot dog.
That sounds phenomenal. Yeah. You'll have to You'll have to say the name of the place. Where is it? What's the name of the place?
I have to make sure it's the same name.
Okay.
I have to make sure it's the same name when I go back, because I know the owner passed away.
Okay.
And so, yeah, let me get you the right name of it.
Okay.
But it was called Sizzles.
Sizzles.
Back in the day. Yeah, it was called that. I mean, that doesn't even represent a hot dog. I don't even know what that was about.
Okay. The onions, maybe. Since the onions were so good, it must have been the onions.
Oh, you can't even make those onions. Oh, they're so good. It's in like a red sauce. Oh, it's so good.
Well, thank you so much, Pat, for being on the show. And thank you all for listening and tuning in. You can catch the Heart Leader podcast every week on the Transformation Network and through many other avenues. Until next time, I am your host, Amber, and we look forward to seeing you in the Heart Leader community.
You've been listening to the Heart Leader podcast with your host, Amber, where heart and mind align. Tune in weekly on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. Ready to take the next step? Join us and over 1 million people worldwide who've united in creating this global movement of love. Become a heart leader for today and tomorrow. Learn more and connect with us at suivera.org. This episode of the Heart Leader Podcast was brought to you by Stephen Douglas. Stephen Douglas is one of the nation's leading boutique search and interim resources firms and has been recognized as a leader in identifying and providing access to top talent for clients since 1984. Whether it's a company preparing to go to the next level or a candidate looking for better opportunities, Stephen Douglas keeps the focus on the needs of the people they serve. They specialize in connecting the right talent to a company's needs while also understanding what the market demands. To learn more about this amazing organization, visit them at stephendouglas.com.